Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio. Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. We are so excited about our show tonight, man.
Indy 500.
The Indy 500's a week away, and we have two, count them, two IndyCar drivers on the show. This is John Massengill. Sitting across from me is Jonathan Green. And you don't hear the voice of Les Kaiser because he's over getting ready for the Monaco Grand Prix Formula One. He went to Zandvoort, the new track.
Which is nowhere near Monaco. Did he take a wrong turn?
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, what the heck? I'm going to say, keep going, baby.
All right, fair enough.
But hey, we're going to jump right in. We have David Turner from Race Control Magazine. So, big show tonight. But we're going to jump right in because we got an IndyCar driver on the phone. Fresh
who
off
is
qualifying.
In the show, as they say. And he'll be well happy with that comment.
Had a blast with him last time. Welcome back to the show, Jack Harvey. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jack. Congratulations. Really, really happy for you. We watched all of qualifying and the lack of it at times. But, we were so happy for you, and it was clear the way you got out of the car and greeted your team, what it meant for you and the team. So just give us an idea of what kind of a weekend it's been.
Oh, I mean, the emotions of it change depending on how your day has gone.
Yeah.
Quite drastically, honestly. I think we were truly a little disappointed with our run. The car got really free. Out of nowhere, you know, we'd had understeer most of the month and suddenly getting qualifying and, had obviously one big save on the exit too, but there was about another two or three on there that the camera didn't quite get a good angle of. But, it's one of those ones where, I think we're disappointed that we're not starting, a couple of rows, further up the grid. That being said, there's a massive amount of gratefulness and being humble that we made the show, without too much stress or too much drama. We might not have done our best effort, but frankly, I was nervous today, and I wasn't even on bump day. It's the drama of this place. It's what makes Indy 500 so special. The atmosphere that was, within this place today was just next level anything I've ever been on. So, well, it's one of those days where, just grateful we didn't have to be a part of it, if I'm honest.
Well, I'm glad you put it in context like that, because when you first came on, you were saying, we could have had a better weekend. Dude, you're racing in the Indy 500, so yes, you're having a great weekend, and next weekend even better.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the thing, right? It's, bump day is a shockingly stressful day. It's like the worst day of the year, really. And you feel bad for everyone who's not made it, because I know how much effort we put in, and I know the other teams are working just as hard, and you hate it for the drivers, their families, the whole team, all the crew, all the guys and girls that have to come together. You hate it for them. In the same breath, I'm grateful that we're going to be in the show, and I think we showed last year that if you're just in it, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I was really happy and proud of everyone at Mayshank Racing and Arrowsmith Peterson Motorsports just for, sticking with the, sticking with it and just working their butts off to try and give us what we need.
And Jack, as an Englishman, a young Englishman who's been a McLaren Young Driver program driver, to see Fernando Alonso not make it and realize how big that company is, the support they were getting, all the rest of it. I mean, I'm not saying that is the benchmark, but it's quite an achievement to make that field, given that some of the greats of motor racing, and teams of motor racing can't.
Well, I think it obviously sucks. I mean, the amount of amount of preparation that McLaren have put behind it, that Fernando's put behind it, the support they've had on social media and just in general, really, to see them obviously not make the race is heartbreaking. But honestly, I think it's as heartbreaking, you know, for teams like Juncos,
yeah,
who were right on the edge and managed just to do it, because, again, you know, kind of a David and Goliath kind of moment. And I think that's what's difficult about the Indy 500 is, you know, there's no guaranteed spots, and I don't think there should be. You know, I think by doing that takes away a little bit of the specialness of Indy 500. So, you know, I don't know if it's particularly sad or, you know, any more sad that it's just, you know, because it's Fernando. I think you hate it because it's happening to any of the drivers.
Sure.
And, you know, I think maybe, you know, I think the European, just as sort of from experience, I think the European perspective, you know, of oval racing is that it's easy, and if it's flat out, you know, why aren't you going quicker? And I know they don't have it, but I think it just, it really shows everybody how difficult it is, you know, and that's why I think we do feel grateful to be in the race. We know how competitive it is. You know the resource a team like McLaren has to throw at it, and, you know, it's been a big struggle for them, and, you know, it's been a struggle for us at times. You know, it's a struggle for everybody, mate. It's just, it's that competitive, and, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the, you know, the chips are with you, and other times they aren't. It's just, I think that's what I mean. Bump day is it's a sad day, because you know that so many people, whether it's, you know, a full, you know, Formula One team like McLaren that, you know, puts a lot behind the Indy 500 effort, or if it's people like Juncos who, you know, are coming racing because they love it, and, you know, kind of a smaller team, and, you know, just putting a piece of the puzzle together, it doesn't matter, you know, you're sad for everybody, and it's what makes this place so cruel, but I think it's what makes us all want to come back and give it a good go, because you never know what's going to happen, and there is a huge element of excitement that comes with that, there's no doubt, but it's hard, you know, it's the most difficult thing I've been a part of.
Well, you know, from a purely fan standpoint, this weekend is phenomenal. I mean,
sure,
hours and hours. I kept thinking, all right, I'm going to do other things. I got the TV on.
No, you can't leave it.
But there's no way. I could not step away. I probably jumped out of my chairs. I can't think of how many times. So from a fan standpoint, watching the cars go 240 miles an hour, the cars get loose. I mean,
cool, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And, you know, there's the death-defying part of this sport that, you know, also keeps you glued to your chair. So it's just, this weekend, it's just almost as big as the 500. It's just a huge, massive entertainment factor.
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, with the weather, the way it all played out,
yeah,
you know, that was exciting because, you know, are we going to get it in? Aren't we going to get it in? You know, et cetera, et cetera. It was a really difficult day for everybody. It was exciting being in the pit lane, honestly, watching it all unfold. It was nerve-wracking being there in the pit lane, watching it all unfold. It, you know, it is... I don't really have the best words to describe it.
Well, you don't need to.
But I think for a lot of people, I think bump day and qualifying weekend is as exciting as the race, because it's who's going to make the race.
Sure.
You know, there's no guaranteed spots, and it is a disaster and, you know, whatnot. It truly is a... you know, the greatest spectacle in racing, and heavy swings and roundabouts. You know, some days you feel awesome, some days you leave this place and just feel, I don't know if hard done by is the right word, but, you know, just like, why us?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's, yeah, I don't quite have the words to explain the feelings of this place in like one sentence, maybe one day.
Yeah, well, I think you've already got yourself into the history books with your own lexicon. Am I right in saying that you are now being effectively tagged with the Code Brown lexicon? Because if that's the case, we've talked to several engineers, they've never heard of it. We looked in the rule book. I heard Blake Tracy say it. Now, is this you as an original statement?
I've seen a few people just literally... In the same breath, I'm like, we need to pit. They're like, why? I'm like, I need new pants. Because the thing is, and I sent the video to a few of my buddies, and they're like, oh, it didn't look too bad. I'm like, can you imagine trying to, you know, have any moment where you put in opposite lock on at 228 miles an hour, the exact like speed in which it happened, with a concrete wall, and basically the weight and the expectation of the whole team and everybody in that one moment.
Yeah.
It's not fun, I'll say, you know. You know, qualifying sessions that play out that way when the car's super free I mean, it's not a ton of fun, mate, if I'm honest. You know, when I got that wig, I was like, oh, no, I've got to do this another two times yet.
And when the engineers come to you going, we're going to take a little more downforce out, a little more downforce out, you can go faster and faster.
Trim it a little bit more. What, no, I'm bloody like, trim.
What do you say to those guys at that point?
Yeah, I think you just stare at them with utter disbelief that they're actually going to do it and hope that they pick up that you're trying to get them to stop doing it.
Jack, what I love about...
It's such a funny one.
Jack, we've had you on the show before. We love your story because you are a grafter. You've had the Racing Steps Foundation looking after you on your way up. You got AutoNation behind you, and I knew how serious he was about making the 500 when I saw a man from Lincoln singing in a car on national television. And I went, my word, this guy's serious. Because nobody... In England, you don't sing in the car on TV, right?
That's probably my most American moment I've had today. Yeah.
He did. He sang a whole song.
Yeah, you can YouTube it. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. That's on the person to go and find it. I mean, you know, it's a tough one as well. And I love the people at AutoNation because, you know, they saved my career. They gave me an opportunity. You know, I desperately needed one. In the same breath, I see that video and I just cringe. I'm like, why did you make me do that? I mean, you talk about putting someone in an uncomfortable position. Brits, you know, can be a bit awkward. You know, everyone knows that, especially in like public moments. And they're like, oh yeah, so we've got all these cameras here and we want you to sing with people you don't know.
Yeah.
But act like your best friends. I'm like, have you met me? Have you not even spoke to me one time? I'm like, I can get awkward with people I know, let alone singing with people I don't.
But you see, the thing, though, that is, though, because that gave you confidence, and then you met the fella from Sirius XM over breakfast and got his sponsorship. So you must have learned something from being exposed to strangers.
I mean, honestly, if anyone who's met my mum, she doesn't know a stranger. She'll talk to, you know, absolutely everyone. I've got, you know, yellow shirts at Indianapolis Motor Speedway coming up to me. Not to say good luck or good, you know, anything like that. Good race last weekend. No, nothing. They're like, what time is your mum arriving today? I'm like, I don't know. That's creepy that you asked me. You know, so I think when you've got that as a family, you know, they're so sociable and stuff. I think we just try and communicate with people. We just talk and, you know, if someone sat there and you both sat there doing nothing, they might as well strike up a bit of a conversation. And yeah, went and met Jim for brunch and walked out with a, you know, co-primary sponsor, which was pretty sweet. So, I would say America's brought me out of my shell a little bit.
There you go.
Hey, Jack, I got to ask you. So we've had this crazy, like you said, emotional high, stress, but now you got a whole nother week. What goes on? What do you can? I mean, obviously you got some practice, lots of practice going on, but, you know, mentally and all the things, talk about this next 6-7 days.
Yeah, I mean, the next 6-7 days, honestly, in some ways, the on-track stuff gets a little more intense, but it's a little bit less. So we've got 2 hours of practice tomorrow. Obviously, we've got an hour on carb day. There's just a ton of media, honestly, the next few days. A lot of interviews, a lot of, you know, sponsor dinners, and honestly, just meeting all the people who make this dream happen. And then in the same breath, in the midst of trying to do all that, you're then trying to stay focused and prepared for the biggest race of the year. It's a juggling act. I think I'm actually going to New York for our media advance. So leaving Monday, coming back Wednesday morning, you know, just a little bit of here, there and everywhere. I mean, don't get me wrong, I absolutely love my life. And, you know, I realize how lucky and privileged I am to get to do this. That being said, it is extremely busy and stressful the next few days, but it's what we live for. So I'm excited for what's about to come.
Jack, I've been at the last two 500s with you and, you know, it was definitely a baptism of fire, and always when you're not doing a full season, it's never easy. But I think you've now, I would say knowing you, that you're probably approaching this one a lot more sated and a lot more, not relaxed, because it's never relaxing, but, you know what to expect from both the week, the month. You've done it before. You've put some good times in, you've had some moments, but you're there. Do you feel confident that, because it really doesn't matter where you start the 500, does it?
It really doesn't. You know, I remember my first year, they're like, just make the race and be there, you know, with 50 laps to go, and you just never know what's going to happen for you. And I mean, that's the truest statement I've heard about this place. And every year I come back here, I get more confident just in, you know, just in myself, just in, you know, the team, you know, the things that are about to happen, and honestly, like, the next week and how that even plays out. So every year I just get a bit more confident, and it's actually going to be, although we weren't satisfied with where we qualified, it's actually going to be my highest starting position. You know, and last year we showed what's nearly possible. So, yeah, you know, I'm excited for what's, you know, for what's about to come. How confident are we that we've got pace to win the race? I mean, we'll find out in the next few days when we get through our last bit of testing. But, I mean, we're in it. We're not here just to make up the numbers. We want to go out and try and achieve something. So, right now, I think we're approaching it in the moment like someone's got to win the race. So, why not us?
Well, Jack Harvey, we're out of time. Thank you so much.
We haven't congratulated him on his third place last week.
I know. I was just looking at his stats. You've had three top tens. Yeah, man, you've had a great season start. So, hey, man, why not you at the Indy 500? So, Jack, thanks for coming on the show. Best of luck next weekend.
Best of British team, my friend.
Awesome. All right, guys.
See ya. Talk to you soon. All right, guys, we got to go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue the IndyCar discussion. But we don't forget, we've got the pole sitter, Simon Pagenaud, going to join us here in about 20 minutes or so. You listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin, Texas, back after these messages. All right!
Hey beer people, it's Christine Sellis.
And I'm Daytona.
Sellis Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Sellis doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Sellis White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Sellis, Austin's original craft brewery.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Talk 1370. I can't stay on your life.
Davis, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Colette Davis welcoming us back, and Pink the music.
Yeah, Colette, you know, she's been on those Kia adverts. Have you ever seen those ones where it's like, goes in slow motion?
She's flying over cars or something.
We met her in Rallycross, and she hasn't been doing Rallycross for a while. I hope she comes back, because she's a great pedaler, and like I said, she's making a name for herself with Kia now.
I know, and this weekend has so much going on. The W Series going on, of course, race two.
Yep.
And by the way, that music, Pink, that's who's going to be at Planet Coda at Circuit of the Americas for Formula One on the Saturday night.
I watched the W Series today. Great battle at the front. Jamie Chadwick just missing out, and it was a really good battle. She got second place, in fact, just missing out. The winner was the Dutch ladies, Jimma.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome to watch. But hey, we have another guest on the line. We're going to continue the IndyCar discussion. Really fascinating guy, David Turner. And it's with Race Control Magazine, and it's an IndyCar magazine based in...
He's based in New Zealand, but he bases himself in Indianapolis pretty much most of the year. He's followed Indy now for, longer than I could tell, but probably over 20 years. He's been a stalwart of the Indy 500 and, of course, Indy Series.
Well, he's been at Indy all weekend, so David Turner, welcome to the show.
Hey, boys. Nice to be back on Speed City Radio again with you.
Great to have you.
Hey, now listen, that was a tough weekend to just sit at home and watch in terms of knowing what those guys are going through. I've been there with you. It's that classic, you know, hurry up and wait. There was a lot of that this weekend. Must have been very tough on some of the competitors.
Yeah, I think it was. It was, you know, the changes in qualifying again this year. It certainly produced good entertainment if you were a fan in the crowd. But
wow.
I think if you were a driver, and then more importantly, a driver in the last row going home last night, wouldn't have been that pleasant. And then when it got sort of rained off early this morning, you would have been going, gee, am I coming back tomorrow to do this? So the tension level certainly went right through the roof if you were sitting in those positions. And, you know, you could see it. You could see it in the eyes of the crew and everyone. And, you know, maybe that's what that place is all about. I'm a fan of the fastest 33 making the field, and that's exactly what's happened.
Are you? Did you rush down as a Kiwi and get an exclusive interview with Zach Brown and Fernando Alonso, you know, or did you not bother with that one?
I think at that point in time, the only thing we had in common was the fact that the name McLaren came from New Zealand, and that would have been about it.
A big story, though, all the same, right?
Yeah, it is a big story. You know, Zach Brown did come screaming past me in a golf cart, and I wondered whether he's heading towards the airport. But, you know, it is a big story just because of who Fernando is. You know, I saw him racing his very first race for Minardi with Paul Stoddart in Melbourne many years ago now. And here he is, two-time F1 champion, a Le Mans winner, and was attempting a triple crown that he's not going to certainly get this year, that's for sure. So big headlines. But, really, in many ways, any of those six would have been a big headline. Imagine if it had been Hinchcliffe 2 years in a row, or, you know, any of those other combinations, really. And we still ended up with, dare I say it, three victims, really, with the guys that didn't make it. Pato O'Ward, in my eyes, kind of deserved to be there. So did Max. You know, they all did in some ways. But at the end of the day, it is the fastest 33, and that's exactly what we've got.
You know, speaking of Alonso, they showed a shot of the hospitality buildings, and they pan past the McLaren building, and it looks like one of those Formula One buildings. It's just a mind-boggling amount of money spent, just glistening metal and glass. And then they pan to the Andretti tent, and it's like, it's just amazing that you think of all the resources of McLaren, including on display right there, and the Andretti guys, you know, and just goes to show that anybody can't just jump into this IndyCar sport and excel. But it was just a contrast. Did you happen to walk by that, David?
Yeah, we did, actually. We walked past it yesterday, and I walked past it again this morning, and I said to myself, gee, I must take a photo of this. And now I'm thinking, gee, I wonder if it's still going to even be there tomorrow. So,
yeah.
But you know, yeah, it was that. It was kind of like you got the sense of Formula One European style has arrived here in the US, because Ganassi's one had gone up a level, and Michael's one for Andretti Autosport had gone up a level, and there was this, you know, high gloss, high finish McLaren one sitting in between the two of them. So, you know, it was there was a statement actually on Autosport this morning from the owners of the Dragon Speed team that Ben Henley's in, and they were saying, gee, the cost of our entire month at Indy to run the car probably equals what McLaren spent on that, you know, corporate hospitality area, which maybe true or false, but it was the arrival of a Formula One team at that level, bringing some of that stuff to this game. But that doesn't transpire to what you do out on the track, and they had a lesson taught to them, really.
Yeah, no question, David. That makes me think about some of the conversations we've had over the years about Indy. You know, we're always passionate about wanting Indy to be the center of the universe when it comes to racing. You know, and it hasn't been that for many a year. But you know, just seeing the interest, seeing how many good rookies there are, good American rookies, also the interest from the likes of Ericsson and Rosenquist, and obviously Fernando. But do you? I mean, are we ready to say the fabled words, Indy is back?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we have been for a couple of years, and you know, credit of a lot of that goes to what IndyCar have done, Mark Miles and the team, and Jay Fry. You know, they've put this series in a position whereby it warrants that box being ticked. You know, it's a competitive series, and in the sense that, sure, you've got the crown jewel event next weekend here in Indianapolis, and it's significant, but to win in this series, and I'll wear my Pro Dixon hat here, the guy's won the thing five times.
Yeah.
You have to excel on this type of track that we're at this weekend. And then, you know, in 2 weeks from now, we're at Detroit on a street course that's rough and bumpy, as you well know. And you've got to excel there. Then you have the contrast of the High Banks of Texas the following weekend, you know. So to win an IndyCar as in a championship, you can't be weak in any of those disciplines anymore. Maybe when, say, from my point of view, when Scott got into the series, he kind of came from a road course background, so you could say the ovals were the weak link, but you can't have a weak link in this game, and you certainly can't afford to not finish races when you're chasing for a championship. So, you know, Dixon's a master of that. You just keep chipping along all year, and you get those final couple, and you put yourself in contention.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, we've talked about the big stories, but there's so what makes this sport so great right now. There's so many. Yeah, they're like Pippa Mann and Colton Herta. I mean, and just all the way down, there's just amazing story after story.
I wish you had a digital magazine you could put it in.
That's nice. Happens to no one. It's called Race Control Magazine. So
all right, tell us about the magazine, people who don't know about it.
Well, the magazine is sort of, it was something that me and my partner, Lynn Patton, started 12 months ago now. And from my days doing television here in Indianapolis, which was for 10 years, I made television for Television New Zealand back home. And we did a 90-minute preview show every year that screened right up until the start of the 500. And the thing that we saw was the fact that the general fan that goes and sits in the grandstands, so not a corporate fan necessarily, but the general fan, actually wants to know more about the sport. They want to know the things that maybe we all look at and just take for granted, but they want to know the things of why do we see a car running at Indianapolis with a little tiny wing on it, and yet next week in Detroit we're going to see this big monster wing on it. And so from my point of view and lessons that I had had through, you know, my career in television, I thought that's the type of magazine we need to go for, and that's exactly what Race Control is all about. And it's also about you're spending time in Indy, and in this issue, we've got a thing about, you know, what you can do with the family. So the kids can go to the very interactive Children's Museum here in Indianapolis and stuff. So it's not just dad going to the races, it's the family going to an event. And, you know, we've done the same for Texas Motor Speedway in a couple of weeks' time as well. So the magazine's gone like that, and it's growing, and we're very proud of it and what we do. And we've got a very strong connection now with the Road to Indy series as well. And Johnny Barker spent a lot of time in New Zealand over the summer, as Jonathan knows, with TRS that we're both associated with. And so it's about the entire way, all the way through to IndyCar itself. And if you look at people like Pato O'Ward and Colton Herta and even Kyle Kaiser today, you know, they're all graduates of that Road 2 series. And that's what the magazine's there for as well.
Well, it is a very, very well-produced magazine. I love that you come on to talk about it, because if you go to Zinio.com, is that the best way to find it? But it's really amazing magazine.
Yeah, Zinio's our publishing partner.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're very grateful for what they do, even though I pay them money to do it. But, it gets it into 12 countries around the world. And, you know, I know one of your guests coming up soon is Simon Pagenaud, and we can honestly say that Race Control is available in France, and that's one of the biggest areas where we've got readership. So there you go. But it's a great thing to do, and we're really enjoying doing it. And we've got many more issues to go, and you know, we value our relationship with Speed City as well.
All right, well, David, we love having you on the show because you were on the ground. We appreciate it, and we appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, and stay on the line if you fancy it. Obviously, we got Simon coming on, but if you want to, you know, if you want to
hang out
or throw a question at him, feel free.
I'll hang out, and we'll chat some more, boys, so I'm still here.
All right, well, we're going to go ahead and take a break. You're listening to Speed City. We are live in Austin, and now up next after the break, Simon Pagenaud, your pole sitter for the 2019 Indy 500. Back after these messages.
When we see a beautiful car pass by, we always seem to use a hand signal. The classic thumbs up, the point and shoot six gun finger, the hang loose thumb and pinky combo. If you've ever flashed one of those, now there's a car club for you. Introducing the Hagerty Drivers Club, with exclusive members only events, insight on buying and selling, the Hagerty Magazine, and roadside service. The Hagerty Drivers Club gives you a big thumbs up. So keep flashing those fingers.
Same to you!
Just not that one. Join the Hagerty Drivers Club at Hagerty.com today.
Hey, beer people, it's Christine Salas.
And I'm Daytona.
Salas Brewery is back in Austin and brewing again.
Oh, Cellus doesn't ring a bell for some of you?
Well, for the last 17 years, we've been crafting the perfect comeback. We've returned to our roots with Cellus White, a famous local favorite.
Plus, we're creating some fresh new brews.
And whether it's the first time you've tasted our family's legendary beer,
or the millionth,
we're thrilled to be back.
Swing by your local store, watering hole, or our brewery, and let's catch up over beers.
Cellus, Austin's original craft brewery.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi there, my name's Derek Bell. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. That's Imagine Dragons music. They're also going to be playing at Coda for Formula One, I think the Friday night concert. But all right, we're talking IndyCar because in about 5-10 minutes max, Simon Pagenaud, he was on last week after winning the Indy Grand Prix. That's what
we're
he
good
gets.
Omen.
Just keep winning. Yeah, yeah, we're lucky. We had that happen a couple of times, actually.
He's a great story. And if David's still on the line, I'd like to bring him on this. I mean, everybody's been kind of down on Simon until last weekend. In other words, he's just been a quiet member, if you like, of the Penske crew. What's been the problem, do you think?
I really don't know, but, you know, you got to remember he's an IndyCar champion as well. So,
sure.
You know, if the bucket list of things as far as Roger's concerned is his drivers winning the 500 as well. Well, Will's done it. Elio's done it three times. Joseph invariably will do it one day, maybe even this year, and same with Simon. So, you know, you can't underestimate any of those guys in that team, and that's the way, you know, the whole Penske organization works globally, doesn't it, with its NASCAR program or supercars down my way and that sort of thing. I think a neat thing as far as Simon's concerned and my connection is the fact that his data engineer is a Kiwi, Malcolm Finch, who I'm going to ask Simon the big question about when you guys have Simon on the line, because Malcolm came from a background in New Zealand and basically came up here and tried to prove himself as a young kid. And here he is in Team Penske for his second Indy 500 next weekend.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because a guy we both know, Michael Scott, is helping Kiwi Motorsport in Formula 3 and Formula 4 here in the US, and before that, Ryan Yardley last year. So I think it's great that young Kiwis get over here and you know, are able to take part, because it's such a learning curve, isn't it, so quickly. What, you know, I've got to ask you, there's so many good stories, as John says, but yep. You've been, you know, like I said, you're a veteran of this. What's impressed you? Who's impressed you in what has been a maelstrom couple of weeks?
I think, you know, this is my 19th 500, so one more and I get classed as a veteran, so that's going to be really exciting. But the big thing for me that I've taken out of this so far this weekend, three Ed Carpenter cars in the top four. That's a big ticket item. Not so much maybe Ed, because we almost expect him to be there these days, but to have Spencer Pickett there, and more importantly, Ed Jones, because you've got to remember, Ed Jones was a guy that drove for Ganassi and kind of semi got shown the door, and here he is starting fourth next Sunday. So that's a big ticket item as far as I'm concerned. Things that we've seen during the week, every single accident that we had happened coming out of turn two. So we'll tick a little box there, but I'm not sure what that's about. And then my third one, which is probably a slight negative one, which Jonathan, you know him very well, Trevor Carlin.
Yeah.
There's now only one Carlin car in the 500, and that's for a part-time driver, Charlie Kimball. So did they get it wrong? I don't know. You know, like yesterday was such a wild card when it came to the weather and the luck of your draw as well. And I talked with Dixon yesterday, you know, and it was all about, you know, where he was in the draw, and it was almost the wrong time of the day. It was hot. The wind came up. You know, there was lots of things that came into play. But again, the track decided what happens there. You know, Connor Daly had undoubtedly the best conditions of the day in some ways. But, you know, look at where we are tonight, you know. So there's so many things that have happened in the last 2 days. It's fantastic, really. And
And it says a lot about this race, and it's 103 years old, and it deserves every piece of credit that everyone gives it.
Ah, so what's the weather next weekend then, Oak-saged one?
Oak 20-year veteran?
Yeah.
Well, having just watched the tornado warnings on the television here in Indianapolis, we can give them the tick because they've passed us through now, so that's good. Very cool tomorrow, so practice tomorrow for everyone. It's going to be different again. Coldest day of the week tomorrow, so will that be relevant to next Sunday? Probably not, but we're in race trim now, so you know we'll see. I'm sure the Andretti boys will go around in a gang of five cars and play past the leader with each other to see how the cars go in traffic. Next Sunday, initially when I looked at the weather forecast over 14 days ago, it was predicting thunderstorms. Now it's saying scattered showers, so hopefully by Sunday, it'll just be an overcast day and we can have a great race that goes the full distance of the 200 laps because I think that's significant as well. You know, I was here years ago when Dario won his race in a rain-affected race that only went 171 laps and sometimes that's not actually the way to decide it. It's better if it goes the whole hog.
Hey, David, I got to ask you, you know, you're being there, you're wandering through the paddock and you know what? Let's hold that question until afterwards because I think we have our next guest queuing up on the phone but I want to ask you about, you know, being there and the experience of being all that, but let's go ahead. Wait a minute. Okay. The call dropped, but David, the experience of being there is just, I want to know something that maybe we wouldn't have seen, on the television, something, some story or some feeling you passed by somebody, something while you were there.
I think the thing that sums it up, and it's the cruelty of the 33 in some ways, but it's the sheer tension that you see on all six teams that went into that last row battle today, knowing that three of them were going to end up with tears of the wrong kind. And you could see it. It didn't matter whether you're the guy that drives the golf car or the buggy or whatever to the driver itself. It's the sheer emotion and stress that a team has put through to get into this race.
The stress, you couldn't see everybody was. But hey, we are very excited because we have the pole sitter for the 2019 Indy 500, Simon Pagenaud. Welcome back to Speed City, Simon.
Hey, it's good to be on. Thanks.
We just had you last week.
We're a good omen.
Oh, I love it.
What a day, Simon, and summed up by, I think, one of the greatest television interviews I've ever seen by you turning around to the reporter and saying, well, how do you feel, Simon? Well, right now, this is the most nervous moment of my entire career.
Yes, it really wasn't a pleasant moment. when they have you, when you drive the race car, you know what you got, you know what you're doing, you know, you're going through the corners and you hit your line, everything's going well and, you know, there's no chatter. It's just very easy to go through the sequence of things. But then when you step out of the race car and you have to watch others performing, you don't know what they have, you don't know how fast they're going to go. And it's the most stressful moment of your life. I've dreamt to be on the pole position here. It's been a goal of mine, and I've worked really hard to understand how to get that speed out of the car and drive it right. Obviously, it's not just me. It's my whole team behind me allowing me to have such good equipment. But that was just honestly a horrible moment.
Yeah, I can imagine.
You know, leading up to this weekend, I was thinking everybody's talking about the traditional pole guys like Will Power,
Ed Carpenter.
Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking, wait a minute, Simon Pagenaud's, obviously their team is gelling, they just won, and the confidence that gives you, how did last week winning and all of that, everything coming together, how did that play into coming into this weekend?
Well, I honestly don't think it hurts, you know, but the momentum has been growing for a while. I've had a great team. We've had a few new members lately on the car. But I tell you what, the work that we did last year in tough times is the result of what's going is basically because of that, this paying off now. So, you know, I can't say that all of a sudden because of Indianapolis win, the Grand Prix win, that we're going to start winning everything. But what I felt at the beginning of the season was that we were ready to win as a team. We were performing really well, but so far the stars didn't align. Last 2 weeks, it's aligned perfectly. So I hope we stay with the same astrology for the next few days.
Simon, I want to talk quickly about some of the things that I noticed today. Obviously, given the time off that you had, we had more time to watch qualifying. I think we were more immersed in it than usual because it wasn't over quickly. It was a long period. But one thing I did notice was how everybody was making, you know, you all say adjusting the tools. Tell us a little bit about how you have almost a sort of faux DRS situation where you can lower the car. And let me, well, I guess what I'm, my question is, tell me about the tools you get to use while you're making a run.
Yes, it's a great question. We have adjustments on the suspension in the car. So we have a front anterior bar and a rear anterior bar we can use to help the roll, how the car rolls into the corner. Doesn't really matter how it rolls for you, but what it really does is it either gives you front grip or it takes away front grip to make the car more stable. Obviously, when you steer too much in the corner, you lose speed. You want to steer the least amount possible and ride on the rear tires, almost sliding like a go-kart, to lose the least amount of momentum. We have another adjustment that's called the weight jacker adjustment that stiffens or softens the right rear spring on the car. If it's stiffer, the car turns better. So then you can ride on that right rear tire. We've got 20 adjustments, and it's quite powerful. So that's what I did. I made sure that I was as loose as I could be to not scrub any speed with the steering wheel, and it worked.
You know, you watch these guys, and you think, your brain must work about five times faster than a normal person because so much going on, all the buttons, and then all the process in your head thinking about how to, what adjustments do I need to make, much less the dexterity and all that to make those while you're on the fly, hands all over the buttons of the steering wheel. It's fascinating. As a fan, it is so cool is the best way to describe it. We love it.
Well, thank you. It's definitely, you have to be very, very precise with it. You have to feel the car and know what to do. To make it faster, you know. So it took me a few years to get there. I've always been very sensitive to adjustment, so it's always been one of my strengths. But it is very cool to see how we can adjust the car.
Now, listen, our boffins at Stats, and including your boffins at Indy, who are brilliant, I may add, you're the first Frenchman since 1919, René Thomas, got pole position in 1919. His average speed, 104.78 miles an hour, a track record at the time. This is your 12th pole position, I believe. But how does that make you feel? It's been a while since a Frenchman's been up there.
I tell you what, I feel so proud for France. It's so great to be able to carry the flag so high. We've had so many issues lately. You know, I think of Notre Dame and disaster that happened there with the fire of our cathedral. It's just great to be able to bring some smiles. I'm sure tomorrow morning there'll be a lot of good news in France about it. And, you know, the Monaco Grand Prix is about to happen with Charles Leclerc, Monégasque, but Pierre Gasly is also a great French driver, and Romain Grosjean. So we've got plenty of talent.
Yeah.
It's just great to be able to shine like this in America and at the biggest race in the world. I'm just so proud of my team. Honestly, I'm just very much at the end of the cycle, right? The whole team prepared these cars, and I just feel very honored to be part of it.
Well, listen, I got another little bit of pressure to add to all of that because, yes, 1919, René Thomas, but in 1920, a Frenchman won the Indy 500 by the name of, guess what? Gaston Chevrolet.
I didn't know that fact.
I bet you did. So, I mean, wow, what a, you know.
And it's the Chevrolet. Yeah, and it's not just a coincidence.
It's the right one too, isn't it? So you do know all about that.
Cool. Yeah, I do. I mean, obviously there weren't too many, so it's easy to remember the history. But yeah, it's amazing to see such a fact. And I feel honored to be such an actor in such history. So, we'll see what we can do. I mean, there's still a lot to do, a lot of work ahead of us. You can't get too carried away at this point because we just checked one box, and we've got to stay head on the shoulders and do the work.
Hey, well, Simon, we have David on the line. He had a question for you, too. David, go ahead and ask Simon your question.
Hey, Simon, it's David Turner here from Race Control Magazine. Well, we were right there with all the photographers when you got to stick that number one sticker on that side pod tonight, which was a very great moment for you, and it was a real pleasure to see you do that. But my question to you is, a great friend of mine, Malcolm Finch, is your data engineer. So how cool is it to have a Kiwi on side as well?
I'm sorry?
How cool is it to have?
Oh, how cool is it to have?
The Kiwi.
Malcolm?
Malcolm on the team.
Malcolm, he's been a great addition to the team. He's on it nonstop. He's one of my favorites because you can ask him anything at any time of the day or the night. He's going to get it done within 5 minutes. And it's rare. It's rare to have someone that has such drive and such dedication to their job. He's certainly one of my favorite of my whole career because it's very important to have people that are dedicated as much as you are like that. And it takes someone with great passion. And Malcolm is a super smart guy, also a good person outside racing too. So I enjoy working with him.
Well, on behalf of New Zealand and Malcolm Finch on your side and us at Race Control Magazine, we look forward to seeing you back out on the track tomorrow as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, Simon Pagenaud,
thank you so much.
We appreciate you coming on. We know you have a busy schedule. We'd love for you to be back on Speed City again because that means you won the race. So hopefully we'll talk to you after the next time we talk to you. Hopefully it'll be after a big Indy 500 win. We really appreciate you coming on.
Let's hope I smell milk.
That's right.
All we can say is bon chance, mon ami.
Merci beaucoup. Merci.
Thank you. What a nice guy, man.
Fantastic. I mean, you know, I can't be happier for him. He deserves it. And you know, it's, you know, like David says, you know, Penske, that's all he lives for. It'll be the 18th chart. He's won it 18 times, says Roger Penske.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, all right, well, we got to take another break. And David's going to stick with us, I think, if he can. But when we come back, we're going to hear from our man, Les Kaiser, who went to Zandvoort.
Aha!
For the new Formula One circuit going on there. You're listening to Speed City. We're live in Austin back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers. The best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
We spend an average of 8 hours and 41 minutes a day facing screens. Laptops, smartphones, tablets, even digital refrigerators. But what are we really connected to? Isn't it time you connected to something greater? Sometimes the best way to connect is to disconnect. This moment of escape was created by Hagerty for people who love cars.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Talk 1370.
This is Alex Gurney. This is Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Welcome back to the show. Sunday night in Austin, Texas. It was crazy hot today. It was like 94 degrees. I'm not quite ready for the Austin
Don't tell
heat.
People in Indy that. It's been raining.
Austin, Texas, baby.
Austin, Texas, baby.
All right. Well, we still got you on the phone, David?
Yeah, we have, and I'm very pleased that it was nice and warm for you down there
today. Has Simon gone?
I think Simon's gone. It shows he's still connected. I wasn't going to kick him off, but I think he's gone. So, hey, David, have you ever been to Zandvoort, the new Formula One circuit?
No, I haven't. You know, like I've watched a lot of the historical races from there, you know, from the Lauda Hunt era and whatnot, and I actually watched one on the massive 16-hour flight that I had back up here. And, you know, it's great to see Formula One going back to some of those historic circuits. You know, it's it's just testament to the heritage of Formula One, really. But like Indianapolis, and the series wouldn't be anything without Indy. So, it'd be a good addition to the calendar.
Yeah, I've been there for Renault 3.5, and I'm sure, therefore, that Simon Pagenaud's been there. And I also think that Jack Harvey's been pole there. So it's a good domain that we've spoken to all the right people. But yeah, it's a very, very famous course.
Well, what are they going to do? I know they've touched on some of the things. But what are they going to do to make it better for the more modern Formula One racing?
It's usually extending gravel traps and making it more safe. And the good thing about Zandvoort is it's literally built in a sand dune bunker. So
it's on the beach.
It's literally on the beach. So I presume that there must have been a fair amount of work already for them to get to this stage.
Well, we have a clip. Mr. Les Kaiser, our third wheel, is not in the studio tonight because he's heading towards Monaco. And
he's our driving. He's our driving steering wheel, just our third wheel.
He took a wrong turn and ended up in Zandvoort hanging out with Max Verstappen and the boys yesterday.
And Jan Lammers.
And Jan Lammers, who's the ambassador to the Zandvoort circuit. And, you know, Jan Lammers is a big-time name Formula One driver.
Yeah, and sports car champion. Brilliant driver in his day.
And so Les caught up with him, and we have a full interview, but we're going to play just a clip tonight, and we'll play the full interview on our Formula One show next weekend. But let's go ahead and hear this clip. And this clip is Les asking him about the history of the circuit.
Just before the Second World War, Zandvoort was a very glamorous, coastal beach place. We had beautiful hotels, and it was very, very classy, very nice. But always somehow the beach of Amsterdam, many wealthy people from Amsterdam invested in Zandvoort, so that was absolutely lovely. But of course, World War II did a lot of damage to the city. A lot of those beautiful hotels that we still see in Monaco and things like that, were gone here. And ironically enough, some of the debris from those bombings are used as a foundation for this racetrack. There is a big history here. And then from the 50s, they started here with the Grand Prix. And then later on was the World Championship. It was part of the World Championship. So there's great heritage. It's got a very natural flow of the track. And that is merely because when they were building the track, they were giving the task to do that with moving as little sand dunes as possible. So they have followed the natural flow of the dunes as much as possible. But anyway, it resulted in a beautiful track. And it's great that we have it on the calendar.
I thought that may have been one of the Red Bull cars, but I don't think the RPMs and sound was quite right in the background. I think they had some sports car racing going on this weekend too at Zandvoort. But man, this is exciting just to have. And anytime there's a new circuit in Formula One, yeah, you got to be excited about it.
No question about it. And you can imagine what it's going to do. The crowd's just going to be awesome. I mean,
Verstappen.
Verstappen's fans go to almost every round. There were some in we saw them here at COTA. So they follow him all over the world. And guess what? Nice come around, goes around, but Bitski Visa is also Dutch. She won today in the W Series.
In the W Series, that's right.
So we got the boys and the girls.
Hey, David, have you been watching the W Series yet?
Yeah, we had a couple of people, Alexander Whitley, who Jonathan's met. She got as far as the last cutoff stage of the W Series. So she went back and did the test in Spain and everything, and then didn't make the cut after that. And in fact, she competed in a TCR event in Australia over the weekend. But so she was a contender there for a little while. And Dave Ryan, who's looking after the W Series, I knew him when he was at McLaren and everything. So there's a little bit of heritage there. I think it's another great series with good intentions and things. So it'll be good to see how it develops.
Good racing today too. We had Jamie Chadwick on the show last week, and of course we're following the two Americans, Sabra Cook and Shea Holbrook. Yeah.
Yeah, I like I said, I think it's the thing with the one make series, it's a bit like IndyCar or any of the road to Indy races, is the fact that at least the car is pretty much standard for everybody. So then you're going to see talent rise to the top. Sure, there's still engineering that comes to play. And we've probably seen that firsthand this weekend with what happened with McLaren here at Indy. But the bottom line fact is that the playing field becomes
that's that much more level as opposed to a technology-driven series, say like F1 is. And those one-make series are just tremendous. They're great for the fan and they're great for the driver.
Mm. Just going back to the whole Zandvoort thing, though, for a second, what's your take? I mean, we've got Hanoi and Vietnam coming online. Meanwhile, you've got places like Silverstone saying they don't want to be part of a world championship anymore. Here in the States, they're looking at new venues as well, possibly Miami, possibly, you know.
I got to say,
we saw with Bernie's plan where he was going in terms of going to new countries, putting them on the map and charging them, you know, a decent amount of money for that opportunity. Where are Liberty going, do you think?
I don't know. There's a lot of things that Liberty are doing that are really good. You know, if you look at what they're doing on social media platforms and the use of, say, YouTube and stuff, you're seeing Formula One out there way more than we ever saw in the Bernie era. And having been on the back end of a Bernie contract at my time at TVNZ, you know, there was so much restriction that you had and you couldn't do. Even when we made a preview show in Melbourne every year, within 7 days of the Melbourne event, all our field footage had to be delivered to Biggin Hill in the UK. Like, we never retained ownership of it.
Yeah.
We weren't meant to make duplicate copies and things like that. So Liberty have freed up a lot of things like that. They're expanding into these new markets. I just hope that they do that for the right reasons. Zandvoort, for sure, it's got heritage and everything. Hanoi, I've actually walked around a lot of that area where that track's going to be when I was there a few years ago doing a television project. And honestly, I don't know if that city can cope with something that's going to close a whole bunch of roads because it's a zoo, you know, at the best of time anyway. So that one makes me think almost like how Korea was a few years ago. You go into an Asian destination and it'll last 2 years and that'll be the end of it.
Wow, Korea, India, you know.
And you know what, guys, we were talking about the rise of IndyCar. And last weekend, Graham Rahal caused a storm on social media by basically a big dig at Formula One, like, hey, did you guys see, are you watching IndyCar right now? I mean, this is a big deal. Liberty has some really crucial decisions in these, you know, the 2021 rules. They've got to get this right. And of course, we want them to get it right. We want them to get it, you know, how can we have the best technology and great racing? So this is really, really such a pivotal moment. It feels like to me, I mean, I know it's an age-old question about Formula One and the technology and the racing, but I feel like we're just at that moment that if Liberty doesn't get this just right, it's going to be a problem because there's fans that are not happy right now. Well, guys, we are out of time pretty much. David, one last time, give everybody a chance to, what's the best way to find Race Control Magazine?
No matter where you live in the world, so no matter where you're listening to Speed City, Race Control Magazine via Zinio.com. So Zinio.com, and just search Race Control Magazine and you'll find us. That's the best place to go.
David, right. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time tonight. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, David. Really appreciate it.
Look, it's wonderful being back on the show. I remember the 100th running and we did this show and, you know, you put me on the hot spot and I picked the winner, which was Rossi, so there you go.
Oh, what a hold everything. However, we'll go overtime. So who's your winner this year, David?
I knew I was digging a hole for myself there, so we'll just make sure Simon's not on the line anymore because I'm going to stick my head out here and go, Ed Carpenter, my reasoning behind it, it's time. He's been on pole for the last 2 years in a row, nearly for a third year, Ed Carpenter.
All right, well, we are out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.